You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are now listening to the Ride or Cry podcast.
This is why. This is why we hired you, Jacob. Yeah.
Take her hoe ass out of here.
Bye, Cookie. We love you.
Bye, Cookie.
Bye, Cookie.
All right.
All right. We are on a time crunch, right?
Kind of. We have exactly an hour.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Right? Well, we have to do merch stuff. So maybe like 45 minutes.
Cool. Well, we can just do this
Dana says we must stop.
Dana's in control.
Yeah. She's always in control.
Hey, so welcome to the Ride or Cry podcast. It is me, Babs, and...
Me, Morgan.
Ian.
And Will.
From...
Creeper.
This is good. We're off to like a really good start. Right?
Yeah, that was good.
First bit's in the bag.
Yeah, we got that.
Yeah,
and what's great is that we can cut whatever we need to cut that's not good. We just make Jacob do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's not
But
even...
it's all going to be good, so we don't need to cut anything.
Sometimes it's
just
not.
Just gold. Solid gold.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's not great.
So you guys have the last show of your U.S. tour tonight, right? At the Fonda?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How's the tour been?
It's been amazing. It's been so much fun. We've been getting on so well with Seaway and with
Speakbo.
What about Neck Deep?
Oh,
Do you hate them?
We hate them. Yeah,
we also hate them.
We hate them, yeah.
No, we've known Neck Deep forever. Like,
yeah.
This is our third tour with Neck Deep. So
We toured all the way around mainland Europe with them, sharing a bus with them and Waster, another band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
Oh, that was like... 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah,
maybe. I think so. 2 years ago.
And you guys didn't even have a full album out then?
No.
Damn.
Just you were torn off EPs for a little bit?
We literally started, when we first started, we had 5 songs.
Did you just play them twice?
We just played them really slowly.
we had to put a cover in the set to fill the time, you know?
Yeah.
Is it Misery Business? Is that the one?
Yeah, it was Misery Business.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice. Hell yeah.
What cover did you put in there?
We played Sacrifice Theory and AFI cover.
Oh, hell yeah. Amazing.
I remember, like, this was 2 years 2 years ago at FYF, and Joyce Manor, they were like, they had their, do you know who Joyce Manor is?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, they had their, like, first, like, album out or something. I forgot. It was a couple of years ago. And their songs are, like, a minute long, and they had, like, a regular 45-minute set. Mm. And they were like... They played every song they had, and they still had 20 minutes left. Yeah. And they were like, hey, so we don't have any more songs. We're just going to play like a couple. What songs do you want to hear again? Yeah. So they did that. But you guys, they didn't even think about doing a cover. So you guys fucking knocked that one out of the park.
It's brains, you know?
Yeah. In our last band, we had a night where we played the same song a couple times, didn't we?
Yeah, because our last band, we played really fast.
Yeah.
Like, we just were like a hardcore band. And so we would go on support tours and play 15 minutes and get in trouble all the time.
Oh, my God.
Did you guys grow up listening to hardcore stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what... I think that's kind of where, like, this... When you grow up into... like catchier, poppier stuff, you're like, you always start there.
Yeah.
Like, I noticed that, like, you always start by going to basement shows and shows that have been, like, thrown in people's kitchens and, like, at community centers where there's, like, a restaurant attached.
Yeah.
And you
always feel,
yeah, there's always, like, a restaurant in the fucking thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it works over where y'all live, but Jacob and I grew up, like, that's all it was just, like, shitty basements with, like, bad pizza places attached.
Like, DIY touring is like how we met, you know. I was a promoter before I was a singer, and so I put on Ian's band, and one of the other bands on the bill, like their singer, they kicked the singer out and asked me to fill in for them.
Did they know you could do it?
When I was a kid, I played in punk bands, I was like loads younger.
So you're just like around the scene?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I think like the DIY punk scene in the UK, because it's so small.
Is it?
The UK's tiny. So like,
I have no idea about geography at all whatsoever.
So like, you imagine like a really incestuous scene where everyone seems to play in everyone else's bands. Everyone knows each other. Like, if you listen to some DIY bands in the UK, we probably know them personally. Like, that's how small it is.
Dude, I mean, that's kind of how it is. Like, I don't know. How is that? Is that like that in Hungary? It's pretty small too.
Yeah, there's like a one. There's one band. Yeah, there's like one band.
Are there one band that just switch out members and play different things? They're the same band, but they have different style of music.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know of any like hardcore bands in Hungary. Like, I only know of maybe like pop.
Yeah, I feel like even Hungarian pop would sound hardcore. Like, it just sounds mean.
Yeah.
Like, everything is in a minor, and they're like, "This is pop." Like, super bummed.
I mean, you're not wrong.
It's dark and they eat potatoes over there.
It's cold. It's true.
We've gone there.
Yeah?
You've been to Hungary?
I feel like we have.
Yeah, we have. I've been there a bunch.
Nice.
America is, as this, like, how long have you guys have been here before this tour, right?
Yeah, we played Warped Tour last year, and we did some stuff at water parks.
I remember.
We played with Tiger Army on our first time over.
Right.
So we've been here a couple of times.
What is your favorite place here, as somebody who does not live here?
I think I found my favorite place on this tour.
I'm going to say Seattle first before you say it.
Yeah.
Really?
We had such a good time in Seattle. It was really
cool. Did you guys go to the
Pike Place?
Pike Place?
Yeah.
You guys were just there,
did you
there,
see people, like, throw fish around?
I didn't go to Pike Place.
Oh.
I went to the Twin Peaks locations with Ian.
Nice.
And I went to a coffee shop with my friend Will, and I just did loads of fun stuff. It was really nice.
Nice.
It's probably more similar weather to what you guys have back there.
Yeah, it totally is.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Even the landscape is really similar.
It looks fucking the same. It looks really similar. That used to be the place that I wanted to move. Like, I was like, it's going to be there. And then I ended up just coming here and then just not leaving. But Seattle's always been, like, one of my favorite spots ever.
It's the best seafood.
It's like the atmosphere there and like the environment and like the attitude is like,
everyone's so cool there, man.
Like, yeah, everybody's super fucking nice.
I'm actually really impressed with us because we thought we wouldn't understand anything you guys said. Like, when we first met Neck Deep, I mean, their accents
are totally different from you guys,
but we didn't know what the fuck they were saying.
Like, I still don't know.
They use a lot of slang.
Dude,
yeah,
I still
they
have
use
no
so
idea what
much
the fuck
slang that, like, what, wait, Dana, what did Sam say to you? Like, put an egg on it or something? You took an egg on my head or something? Yeah.
Yeah.
They just, like, make stuff up.
Yeah, we've known those dudes for years, and I've never understood one thing that any of them are saying.
But so they taught us some slang when we interviewed them. Can you guys teach us, like, a word or two that...
Ian's been saying mush loads this
year. I've been saying mush a lot. It's basically just, like, a common phrase used, like mate or dude, like when you're talking to somebody. Mm. But it was commonly used by what we call in the UK chavs, which are like, how do you explain it?
Chav's a little bit of a problematic word.
Yeah, like, I know, but like, that's why I did this. You can't,
like,
see
bro?
That on the podcast. But.
Is it like a bro?
Yeah, no, it's like like a chav, typically, like the stereotype of a chav would be someone wearing a tracksuit, like, and with a cap, lots of Burberry, chains, hanging outside kind of corner shops. If we're stereotyping, that's what they'd be like.
Corner shops?
Yeah, so
what
like,
is that?
Yeah.
They keep going, because we don't know any of this. Like, no, you could literally
that's
talk
like,
about
it's
it.
It's like a late night store that sells booze and stuff.
Yeah, you're like a 7-Eleven or something.
Oh, so just like fucking a bunch of...
But like most 7-Elevens don't even sell booze, we found out the other day.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we
no
went
idea.
Together.
Oh, yeah.
To try to get
I really remember.
Around here. The thing about like going out... Did you get Uber here?
Yeah.
If you walk across the park, 45 people are going to go, you need an ID. You need a fake ID. Mm-hmm. And so it's like fucking, you have a whole park of people being like, do you need me? And Babs are like, can you
make are you gonna make us younger?
Is there a way you can just make a fake idea but the opposite?
You got any magic pills?
I bet they can do that.
Yeah,
if they can make you older, they can make you younger.
Of course. Well, it's a fake ID, like you tell them what to put on it.
I'm gonna have them make me like 65.
That we're 17.
I'm gonna make me 65 so I can get a senior discount.
Honestly, that's tight.
Yeah, it's
that's
not nice. A bad idea. That was the greatest thing my mom has ever, like, her biggest accomplishment in life. She was like, I'm 65, I can get a senior discount now.
Yeah.
She was so
I'm
happy.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, so fucking tonight's...
Wait, so mush is just like friend or like homie?
It's like that. So you'd be like,
hey,
mush? Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Is it like duck? Like how, like Phil uses duck?
Duck, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Like, that's really funny because duck's something like older people say.
Really?
They'd be like, oh, like duck?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
but like mush is something like young people say, I guess. Like...
Okay.
It's basically like when you're younger, you had like the alternative kids and then you had the other, like I guess over here it would be the jocks considered jocks. And they would use that as a greeting to each other. They'd be like, "You're right, Mush. Like, how you doing?"
Yeah.
So I've been.
But
trying
it's like
to
it's like a friendly thing. Yeah, it's not
yeah,
bad.
Yeah. No, but I've been trying to reclaim it for the Gribblies, for the
for the who?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Gribbly mm-hmm. is just like alternative kids.
Okay.
Gribbly.
Yeah.
So it's just like fucking like pumpkins.
The Gribbly
yeah,
Mushes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so I've been trying to reclaim that word from these stereotypical jock chav characters. Mm-hmm. And reapply it within our sort
so
of...
So alternative kids.
How yeah, has it been yeah. going? Like, or is it catching on?
I wouldn't be
is
it's going well. It's, no, not very, it's not really going well, but you know, I'm gonna keep going until it works.
Well, I mean, if you keep touring with these fucking American bands, they're gonna it'll catch on. You put somebody in a bus with each other for that long, they're gonna start talking. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Drew from Speak Low, he's taken it on, but he says mush... Yeah. As in, like, mushy peas or...
Yeah, that's what
that's
I think.
What I thought it was, yeah. Like,
how do you spell how do you spell potatoes? The one that you're saying?
It's spelled it's the same as mush.
Mm. But it's mush.
So he's technically...
Correct.
Yeah.
He's completely correct.
Yeah.
He's 100% accurate.
Dude, so tonight's the last night.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming.
We're coming.
Hell yeah.
And okay. We are very excited.
We're going to mosh.
I am not yeah. going to do that.
Are you in mosh retirement now?
Hmm?
Are you in mosh retirement now?
Yeah, I come and I like see the bands that like I want, and then I like want to go to bed.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, that's
I feel
just...
like that, and I play on the stage, man. Like,
yeah, no, I know. You're like
go to sleep.
I think tonight will be really, really cool because you know now we know you guys. You know, we've had some of the other bands play.
Yeah.
You know, and we've known fucking Phil and
we've
Sam
had
for
Seaway,
ages.
Yeah, Emo
and
Gardenside.
Gardenside, we've had them.
Oh, Gardenside is a sick band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love them.
You guys just really stacked the fucking bill.
Yeah.
You're
it's
like, how many bands can
a
we
a 5-hour yeah. show.
You guys are throwing
we have an interval halfway through. So
I can't believe that you guys
rest.
Are throwing
yeah.
a festival.
Yeah, it's just for you guys.
Yeah, it's like a
that's
mini festival.
So we've been listening to the album, which is your first album, like all week. It's really good. It's really, really good. And what I like about it is that it doesn't really sound like anything that, like, currently that I can put my finger on. And I think that that's a really cool, like, I was like, what the fuck? It's got, obviously, like, you know, it's got the influences from shit we used to listen to, but it doesn't sound like anything that, like, we currently have, which is great. And I think it's real. All of the songs are good, which is hard for, like, any band now because people live in singles. They want to, because you don't need to make a full album of good songs because you can put out a single and everybody buys that.
Mm.
But we think it's going in the other way, right, Babs?
We do think it's going the other way.
We think that now it's going to turn around and people are going to start buying, like wanting to hear like full albums again, which is really good for everybody, which is what I wanted when I was like a little kid. Like I wanted to listen to a full album in my room and I wanted to know every word. And I think that listening to the album, your guys' album, I think that is what it gave me with like the kids like every song they're like know all of the songs, all the lyrics, all the words to everyone, right?
Oh yeah, but like back home it's mad back
yeah.
home. I feel like what you're saying is completely true of me as well. Like I want to have an experience with a record. I want to put something on and take it, the journey of the record taking you from one place to another during the course of the record, and that kind of escapism that I associate with being young and like loving a record like that and appreciating it for what it is, and allowing like the artist to plan out the narrative of a record or whatever, even in terms of like how it sounds and like what you're going through listening to it. I think it's difficult to do that these days though, because kids do just go on Spotify, listen to 30 seconds of one song and then
the single.
Exactly. Yeah.
You go to your top played, you do the top played, and like sometimes I don't even know where they get that song from, because sometimes it's not the single, which is weird. Like it's a really weird thing they do with Apple Music too, which isn't awesome, because I looked up this, like they don't have all of the shit on there. So I think it's going to be, we're going to start moving in that album thing, which is great for you guys, because obviously you know how to put together a really fucking good one.
Can you talk a little bit about the narrative of this album and kind of like I love the cover of it. I think it's really cool. Just like the purple tones and the mood of it. So kind of like how that, it all goes together.
Yeah, sure.
And also adding on Babs, like, are you guys going to continue to use that artist like as the albums come out and as the singles come out, because it feels like a really cohesive feel to like put all of those things together into one thing.
It's like, it's been, the album's been, the lead up to it was so long. Yeah. Like, we did two EPs on Roadrunner before we did the album. And they started into these new characters. So the Callous Heart, which is the backpacks that we wear on stage every day. And the Stranger, which is this fictional character that exists in this world. The whole idea was that we were taking where we lived, which is in a place called Southampton in the UK, which is really grey and really boring. And like injecting the fantasy and the excitement that we needed to like... give it the escapism we were trying to create in the music, but with the narrative as well and the visual. So like all the videos are shot in our hometown, but like we've lit them differently. We've created this narrative around it, and the narrative is all based on Jay and Barry's Peter Pan. Like
what?
Yeah, I know. So basically,
like, we just sort of skipped over that because I was like, we could just be like, sure. Yeah. What is that? What are you talking about?
So you must be familiar with the story of Peter Pan, right?
Peter Pan. Yeah. Oh, I thought, did you just not understand her?
I thought you said Pizza Pan.
Pizza Pan. That's the based on.
I know that you just didn't understand.
I literally thought you guys had like a. It was like a local character that you had that I.
No.
Just, yeah. No. I.
Peter
again,
Pan.
The main character in our story is a guy called Pizza Pan.
He's a
big pan
like,
pizza.
He loves pizza.
Literally.
That purple briefcase that he's got is full of pizza.
It's just overflowing.
It's just
pizza.
Pepperoni. So we figured out what's in there, and it's pepperoni. It's pepperoni.
It's like Pulp Fiction when they open it and it's shining like. No, it's just pizza.
Cheese. That's just cheese, isn't it? That's what it is.
Yeah, I fucking. So, based on Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. So
I'm probably going to do that again.
Okay, let me try and skim through this because
we never really made an elevator pitch for it.
Yeah, it's really long.
You don't have to elevator pitch it. Like I want the people that listen to this. Like I want them to know like what y'all are about. Like,
okay, so the original idea was that we were making a gender neutral Lost Boys with the Callous Heart patches. That was to kind of return. We noticed at our shows that we were attracting like lots of goth kids, lots of like hardcore kids, punk rock kids, people from all different,
even older family members. That's weird.
Yeah, older people as well. There's all different lots of people, and the way that the patch gave us a way of like. Joining those people together. So if you saw someone with a patch in the street, you'd know that you had something in common with them. Much in the way, like, I don't know if you what it's like over here, but when I was younger, you'd see someone in like an Offspring shirt and you'd walk past in the street, and if you didn't even know them, you'd just kind of go,
yeah, you know? That's what we have with our fucking logo.
Yeah.
Like you'll see tonight, like a bunch of kids are just wearing a grave. Like all, like tonight, just look for it. They'll be like wearing grave shit. Like you'll see it. It's like the same thing, which
the
is,
same thing,
yeah, we
know recognition straight away.
Yeah, so you just don't have to be like, it's literally the thing where you can look at somebody and be like, okay, we know.
Yeah,
and then that's
but
it.
I mean, same with
thing.
Like any band shirt, you know, like when I was in high school, I would like see one kid with like a Taking Back Sunday shirt, and I was like, we're
exactly.
friends,
we're gonna be
we're
mates
already,
now.
Yeah,
yeah.
And or like, mushes.
Yeah. See, I told you, it's gonna click on.
It's not gonna click with me.
No,
I can't do it. It's just not gonna happen. Watch tonight.
We're gonna have to break you.
Watch tonight. I'll see you. I'll be like, "What's up, mush?"
we're gonna get you saying it, but in this day,
all right. I'll fucking email people the rest of my day. I'll just email people like that, and they're gonna be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
It says, "All right, mush." At the bottom.
Maybe it's from Creeper. Maybe you've heard of them. Fuck you. Is how I'll answer it.
Nice.
Yeah,
I dig that.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So that was originally what it was about. It was also about we were touring in a band before Creeper for years that didn't get anywhere. We toured in Europe constantly, and what we noticed was that like we were always on tour, and we'd come back home, and all of our friends back home were growing up and getting older, getting kids, and getting careers, buying houses, and we ended up in this sort of state of purgatory where we never really progressed. We just constantly toured and never really went anywhere. Like it was really strange, and it was really reminiscent of. When Peter Pan returns to see Wendy and she's an old woman, like it was just watching everyone around you grow up so quickly and you being kind of stuck in this arrested development sort of phase kind of felt like Neverland a little bit. So I started noticing the parallels between us and this story that I read when I was a kid, Peter Pan.
Yeah.
And so we started kind of building upon that, and we entered the stranger, this character who is supposed to represent anxiety and the things that keep you up at night. And he was... kind of again a reimagining of TikTok, the crocodile from Peter Pan, who swallows the clock and chases around Captain Hook, you know, time catching up with you and those sorts of things. So we made a record all about him, and when we came to the album we tried to tie all those stories together, and by the time we'd reached the album I realized that we'd kind of been on a journey where we'd been like running away from things all of our lives, and actually we were more similar to the Captain Hook character in Peter Pan than we were the Peter Pan character. Now we were stuck in between somewhere. We were old enough to too young to be old and too old to be young, you know. And that feeling of like time chasing you and you chasing your youth, still that constant circle of where Captain Hook is in life.
Are you me? How old are you?
I'm 30 years old.
Yeah. Same. Are you guys the same person as me? Because that's how I feel. I like to just pretend to know how to do stuff now.
Like, I mean, I don't even know how to use my phone at the time. I feel like an old man.
Yeah, because I know that feeling. Because I like had a stunt. I like stunted myself too, but just playing in bands and drinking and doing drugs and shit. And then like I stopped, and I was like, oh, everybody's like moved forward.
Yeah.
And I have not. And then, but I didn't have a band.
Dude, we stayed at our friend's house in this tour in Orlando, and he was someone we knew from school, and we stayed at his house. And he's like, "You can stay at ours if you want." We're like, "Cool, man." Well, went to his house. Mm. And he lives in this massive house, and I was like, "Fucking hell, man, I should have stayed in school on my day."
Yeah, but dude, at the same time, he's probably being like, "Fuck, yeah. I want to do that." Yeah, I wish I could be in a band. And the grass is always greener, dude. And like, we don't never know how like what other people are thinking. We only know what we're thinking, and it's extremely overwhelming.
Yeah, and we were like, there for like one night.
Yeah,
and all we had time to take in was the fact that his apartment was huge.
It wasn't an apartment; it was a massive house.
Yeah, a house. Sorry.
How much did you steal?
We didn't steal a thing. He's a friend of us.
Big mistake.
And he's got a beautiful wife, right. And they both have really good jobs.
Right.
And they had this huge, beautiful house.
Maybe his little dog.
Yeah, and we were just like, oh.
Did they put like?
What are we doing?
Did they put like plastic down for you guys to sit on? They're like, oh, you can sit.
Yeah, you can sit here.
Yeah.
The garden furniture was out, so we could sit on that instead.
Dude, I mean, like half of my friends still play in bands. And then, like, the other half are...
Like, married with kids.
Married. I'm at a really weird age where it's either people want to keep doing what they were doing and they love doing that, or they're like, I need a family. I have to have a family. Like, I'm getting too old. I don't know what the fuck to do. And so they rush into doing that shit. And it's like, we don't have to make any decisions right now. Like, you have your... I had a therapist a little while ago named Peg, and she was super old. Like, she was really fucking old. Like, she was an old person. and I would talk to her about this, like, what this album, what you just described to me, all the time. And she told me something, like, really, really comforting. She was like, "I still don't know what I want to do." And I was like, "You're pretty old." And she was...
You should know by now, Peg.
She was like, "I still don't know what I want to do." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "Well, this is, like, my third career." And so by that, like, and I was like, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah, dude, like you can do whatever you want, whenever you want." She was like 70 and she was still like, I'm going to do something else. And like, before she told that to me, I was like, "You have to do one thing, this whole thing. And like, that's what you have to stick to." And I didn't really listen to it until like somebody who was really old was like, "I still don't know what I want to do." And so like, it makes me feel a lot better now. And then also like hearing you guys, like it's really nice to like hear that you guys feel the same way that I think a lot of people do, but have a really hard time articulating, being like, "This is why I feel anxious. This is why I can't sleep. This is why, like, cause I have to do these things. I have to do these things like society has asked most people to do."
Mm-hmm. And should reread the Peter Pan. I know it sounds ridiculous, but like,
it doesn't sound ridiculous.
You take a whole different perception of it, like perspective on it. Oh my god, perspective on it. It's been a long tour. You take a whole different perspective on it when you read it now. Like, it's really interesting to see like the character that's like, vilified is this character that's chasing his youth, chasing the Lost Boys,
and scared of time
catching up with him.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't know how to compare stuff when we were little. We just like read the story for like what it was, and we didn't actually be like, "Oh, this has a deeper meaning." So like everything. Now, like, I used to read, you know, Calvin and Hobbes, y'all got that over there. So like, I used to read, those used to be my favorite book. They're the only things I don't think I've ever read a book, but I definitely have read every single Calvin and Hobbes things. And I recently went back and read pretty much through the entire thing, and I was like, everything now is this, nothing's changed. They didn't change anything in the comic strips. They're exactly the same as they were, but they mean something entirely different now. And so I think, like, taking a story like Peter Pan and, like, taking it and moving it to, like, an album, especially our age, is a really important thing for, like, not only, like, young audience, but also me. So hearing that makes me relate to you guys a fuckload more now. You know, I was like, this is a great album. All the songs are good. Now I like, now I know what it's about. This is awesome. And I think that's going to like really, really resonate with like a lot of people that listen to this and come to Eamon. I like this in general. I think that that's a really, really great thing for you guys to make a whole album about as personally.
The other good thing about it as well, it's not specifically completely aimed at that. This is our interpretation of where we are at in our lives and what we take from it. But you've also got the Lost Boys in Peter Pan, which is the callous art. We've tried the gender neutral callous art thing. Lost Boys, sorry. And that is relevant for younger kids who want to keep their youth and stay in their youth for forever. So I feel like no matter what age you're at, there's something to relate to in that story, which is like a really clever storytelling device.
I have a feeling that like when you guys listen to this album in like 10 years, it'll mean something completely different to you then than it does right now. It's like the same thing. You guys are telling a timeless story.
Well, it's just finding yourself in that point in your life, which everyone does eventually. And I think like to a degree, like my dad's still doing that, like in that position as well. You know, he wants to be one of the young dudes. All his friends are that little bit younger, and he wants to go out and drink all the time, and you know, he doesn't feel like the age he is, but like it just catches up with you every day. You know, you notice another line in your face every day. And I think it's really the story of Peter Pan just became extremely relevant. So the way we tried to tell it was by reimagining characters. So the character that on the front of the album is a James Scythe and James Hook, like Captain Hook. So it's all in reference to Peter Pan. But the idea about that was to have a Captain Hook character on the front of the album. The rest of the artwork on the album cover is all places in Southampton have been reimagined to look like they're from Blade Runner, from like a neon noir perspective.
It looks fucking awesome. Yeah. Do you guys have like? Are you gonna? I don't know if you guys have even talked about this, like, or started writing like the next album, because you're still touring this album and it's still like picking up a lot of steam, which is fucking awesome. Like, tour on it forever. Like, but like, if you guys do, I don't know if you guys have talked about like the next album, sort of taking another approach to like what you guys did with Peter Pan, but another story or anything, or are you just going to see where you're at that time?
I think like, we're so busy touring at the moment, it's like tricky to even. We're definitely a band that think about like what we want to do next, because we get really excited about doing that sort of stuff. But we've been so busy recently, we haven't really had like a lot of time to probably think about it.
We're literally touring constantly, but like I feel like if we were to do something else, if we were to do another album, we couldn't make the same record again anyway. Like it would be the story I've just told you about this record, why it sounds the way it does and the themes it has, are really particular because of the time in my life when I was writing the lyrics and doing that. I felt a certain way like that. Like when we did that record, it's been out a year now, but we recorded it like 6 months before that. We started writing it more, you know, so before you know it, it's kind of quite old for us.
Like, right. So is it like even different now listening to it than
when
you guys
first
started?
Yeah. It's really difficult to listen back to things you've done sometimes. Right. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever listen back to these podcasts and hear yourself and go, oh my God, I hate my voice?
No, I fucking hate my voice. Yeah, so I never listened to that.
That's what I feel like with singing sometimes.
Really?
But I also feel like I'm a different person today than I was yesterday. And if you think about 2 years of that, like, how on earth I would go in to write the same record again or to try and appeal to that. So I imagine if we did something else, it would sound completely different, with a completely different message, a different heart, like the
different
band would...
story, narrative and everything.
I think the band would completely evolve into something else.
Yeah, that's totally. Super fucking exciting to like... I was just asking because like, you know, did you go into this album being like, this is the story we're going to write around? Or you wrote the album and you're like, this is very familiar to this, and you guys put the pieces together and put those two together? Because if it was the first one, you're like, we have this story, this really is connecting with us, we're going to write around that. This is also Welcome to LA. So,
yeah, there's usually helicopters.
Yeah,
also.
I would love to see that. Sorry.
Dude, you honestly, the first week we were here, there was a fucking... We were like, did we make the right choice?
I know.
But, like, because, like, sometimes when I do music videos and, like, commercial stuff, and sometimes, like, I do what the first thing is. Like, I take an idea, and then I expand on that idea. And, like, I make a whole thing out of that one. I flatten it out. I dissect every little piece. I put it into, like, 10 parts. And then you have an idea out of one idea. So, like, that the story what came out as the album is out of one sort of idea that we related to our that you guys related to your I'm in the band now that we really that we related to ourselves. So like I did, like is there did you guys do that before or after the album?
I think like we're in a really fortunate position where like we can like the narrative stuff I kind of took away and I could work on that, where Ian could take away the music and write with that, work with that. Like so it's a combination of the two, but we certainly set out to write a very particular record, and we always do. So we have a process when we write. We'll have like a whiteboard, and we'll have like 11 bullet points that will be songs, and we'll say, well, how should this record start? How should it begin? And on this particular record, we're trying to reference. I was really keen to have an intro and an outro, like the record, like bookends, like Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, like that David Bowie record was a really important record for me when I was a kid, and it had this. It felt like you were entering another world when it started, and then it had this grand climax. So we wrote in like intro song with an intro, outro, and that's how we knew. So we knew how the record started.
They were the bookends, yeah, yeah.
And then, like, we worked out, like, the ebbs and flows of the record. We need to, after an intro, we need to pick the pace up straight away. We need to do this. You know, so it had a cadence to it. And we knew what sorts of songs we were going to write. And then we just sat down and wrote them, you know?
And so, then you just put them in order. Like, did you write them in order? Or did you write all the songs and you're like, this one should go here, this one should go here for the flow of the album?
There's a real, importance. One of the real challenges of the record was there's a song that Hannah sings on her own.
Bab's sister? Yeah. So weird. Yes. I didn't know you guys knew her.
Hannah sings a song called Crickets. And it's like it was a song that we were really fighting to do, but our record label didn't want us to do it because I'm the lead singer, and they were like, we can't put a song on where you don't sing. But like we were really insistent on it because we wanted to put this country song on. And because we wanted the record to be diverse and this kind of, and people to not know what to expect with Creeper, like that we could, you know, I feel like we can do a lot of stuff with the band. I don't want us to write the same thing over and over, you know.
Classic record label, by the way.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, no, you can't have that.
Yeah, don't do something cool. They're like, you guys are like, hey, we have this awesome, great, cool idea. They're like, yeah, no, don't do that. Yeah. Do the regular thing.
And we had it like, we had it in the roadmap as well of the record. We were like, oh, I have the intro, pick up the
pace. Did they sign off on it?
They didn't know what the roadmap was. They hadn't heard the song.
But we wanted to have like the two ballads, so to have Misery and Crickets. But obviously, like
it just ended up like until they heard it. Like we just did it anyway, and then they heard it and they loved it. Since they heard it, but like to get to a country song on like a record like ours, which is an alternative punk record, I guess, in its heart, it's how do you do that? Like, and how do you do that with a listener not being jarred by that, by having a different singer and having a different style of music? How do you approach that? So we started thinking about how we were going to do it, and so what we decided to do was do a really fast hardcore song beforehand that was the opposite of the country song. But that in the outro section, we Hannah joins me for a part in a backup singing role, and the song slows down, and then the instruments all cut out and it cuts down to an acoustic guitar with me and Hannah singing. And then when this next song starts, it's just Hannah singing with a guitar.
So you just tie everything together.
It sort of
together.
Conditions you into going into the next song.
So that was the idea was to try and make it seem
jarring. Yeah, you problem solved when you didn't need to, and it ended up and it like did it for, and it like worked out for the better. So some like we deal with that every day. We're like, we have this great idea, and everybody's like, don't do that. And then how do we do that? Like when you know in your heart that something's going to work. And somebody's like, no, don't do that. And they're like the people giving you the money to do that thing. It's a really, really hard battle to fight because it's not going to be the same if you don't do what you want to do.
Definitely. There's no point doing it if you don't want to do what you want to do.
It doesn't make any sense. And especially if this is the first full album, it like makes, after hearing you talk about this, it makes so much more sense. After Babs and I like listened to this shit all week, it like it makes so much more sense. Like I'm like now listening back to it, and I'm going to take so much away from this. And after I listen to this again, and it's going to be fucking, I'm probably going to feel way different about the album than I did into it. And I think that's what an album should do. And it'll probably take you like, and I'll listen to it in like fucking month and I'll feel way different about it then. But as far as albums go and things that have come out now, I think you guys have sort of a timeless feel going on as far as like punk alternative, like, if that's what you wanted to call it, I would I don't know what it is, because it was like, I was like, oh, this is a great rock album. Because it sounds like a lot of different things, and I would never want to like put it in a category that it doesn't seem to be fit in. So I think like listening to, I think this is one of the albums that's going to grow with your fans over time and for a really long time. So I don't know, how's fucking the American fan people? Are they good?
Oh, they're great.
Yeah, really good. Like, we've noticed a growth from Warped Tour, because we were over in the summer on Warped Tour, and then coming out on this tour.
Are you doing?
Was it
next one?
Last summer you guys were on it?
Yeah, yep. Last summer.
Okay. Are you guys doing the next one?
No, we're in the UK.
We got stuff booked back home.
Yeah, but like the shows have been incredible in terms of like the pickup here. It takes a lot longer. America's such a longer game than the UK in terms of touring.
Yeah, lots of distance to cover.
So the UK is like smaller than one state.
Yeah,
how far do you guys live from Islington?
About an hour.
Yeah, about an hour and a half. Yeah.
Cool. What's that?
That's where we're going to do an emo night in May. Mm. I don't know if you guys are around, but...
What are we doing in May? Festivals. We're doing festivals all summer, yeah. So we should be around.
Cool.
Yeah, we're doing... Are we allowed to say it?
I don't think so. So maybe we'll
cut tell you after. We'll tell you after what we're doing. But you guys should definitely come and fucking hang out and say hi. Because we're going to go... We're going over there. And it's our first time that we'll be over there like together as like emo night.
That's awesome.
I know. It's going to be really fucking cool.
What venue are you guys doing?
O2 Academy Islington.
Oh, yeah, that's a cool place. We played with the Misfits there once.
Yeah, we did.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, wait, really?
No, like, Jerry Lee's.
Jerry Lee's, yeah.
I have a Misfits tattoo. It's I mean,
Did you go to the dancing venue?
I was out of town.
Oh, man. We saw them at Riot Fest. We did Riot Fest the year that they played. It's fucking sick.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's the fucking greatest. They wrote some of the greatest love songs of all time.
This happened to also be about death.
Yeah, they wrote. I like literally. Like I can listen to some of the songs, and you can. Those are country songs, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
All Misfits songs.
Oh, Elvis Presley songs.
Like, like if you like just slow those down, if you tune them different, and you sing them. Actually, the band that we had play at emo night, Pukes, was a Misfits cover country band.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
We had a country band cover a bunch of.
Yes.
My friend's band, Pukes. They were originally just country Misfits, and they're all like Juilliard trained musicians, so they're really, really, really good. And so it sounds like you're listening to. I'll send you the link. I'll find the link and I'll send it, because you're gonna be like, "This is." I didn't listen to anything for like a fucking.
I like that they decided on Pukes as their name.
It's a great name. It's an awesome, and they like dress like cowboys, but they play Misfits.
There's a band in the UK that used to be around called the Misfants. And they were like larger people.
They're just great songs. Big fat people.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I know, it's cool.
Hey, what are you guys' favorite movies?
Because
I feel like this is you guys are movie people.
Yeah, I also heard you guys like horror movies.
Yeah. I'm a big horror movie fan.
Cool.
I have to go for like really obvious, like The Shining.
Yeah. It's a fantastic movie.
So obvious, but it's just a fucking incredible movie. Horror movies, I guess. Like The Exorcist, I know people laugh at it nowadays, but it's terrifying. It's still terrifying.
It's so terrifying.
I don't know, like loads, like B movies. I'm a big fan of Brain Dead. I know Will is as well.
Good brand too. They're a good, like it's a legit streetwear brand here.
Oh really? Oh, yeah. Okay, I didn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Check it out.
Okay,
cool. Yeah.
I don't know. Like you have a go.
I love like Blade Runner's one of my favorite films. Mm. That's why like I think visually it was so represented on our last like release.
Do you like the new one?
I haven't seen the one yet. I was into when it came out.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah,
it was the first time I was like, oh, sound design is important in a movie.
Mm.
It was the first time I've ever thought that, and I've been watching movies for 33 years.
I hear it's really good. Actually, I'm part of like all these Facebook Blade Runner groups, and everyone loves it. It's really cool.
Mm.
Yeah, people like either really liked it or really didn't like it, but also it did the thing that movies are supposed to do. It really entertained me.
Mm. My girlfriend did this thing where she was desperate to see it because Ryan Gosling was in it, and I've been trying to make her watch the original Blade Runner for years, and she falls asleep in it every time.
Girls are awesome at that. Yeah. They're so good at falling asleep in movies. It's literally like, it's put it on, out. Is that the same over there in England?
Oh yeah.
Wherever.
Well, I'm a big fan of a lot of found footage movies. I know there's loads of really bad ones, but my wife Kat can't watch them. It makes her feel sick. So if I know she's tired, I'll put it on and she'll go to sleep straight away. And then I'll just watch like three in a row.
Yeah.
And you'll go upstairs and play computer games.
Yeah. While she's asleep.
What are you playing?
I've been playing Elder Scrolls Online recently. I'm a massive RPG nerd.
I like that. Yeah. That's something I like. I feel like we like a lot of the same things, which is very cool.
Yeah, man.
We're 30. Well, I'm 33.
You are.
It's You're true. 32.
I'm 30.
30 also. I mean,
30 also. Yes.
Yeah. So what about, we're just a bunch of punk kids in our 30s doing a podcast next to MacArthur Park.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that's like a real gnarly park. It's like, you guys should actually.
By gnarly, do you mean like good?
Bad.
Or like bad. Stabby.
Yeah. They'll like stab you and then also have sex inside of your stab wound.
Oh my God.
Wow.
That was very intense.
Yeah. They're like, that's what MacArthur Park is like.
And well, then on that like, note,
yeah.
And I think we got to wrap it up.
Do we have to wrap it?
Because you guys have to leave soon.
Oh, yeah. What are you guys doing tonight? This is exciting.
We're having some songs.
Do you guys know, like, that's like kind of a big deal?
Yeah, we've been hearing it's a big deal.
Because, like, I don't know if you guys were like, we're doing, you guys are on this night show in England. I'd be like, I wouldn't know if it's like a big deal or not.
Yeah, we didn't know.
I don't know what it is
until we've been told.
Yeah, no, it's very cool.
So you do that right before the show?
No, like it's right while now. while we're doing the show, they're filming us.
Okay. Yeah. Do they like interview you before or something?
I don't know.
Okay. All right.
That's awesome. Either way, it's really cool, and I think it's really cool for Carson Daly to do that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, he's a legend.
It's great.
Have you guys met him before?
No. Mm-mm.
No.
But I mean, like, I grew up watching TRL.
Yeah, he used to do TRL.
You guys remember?
Yeah.
So he
wasn't he a judge on the like American Idol or something?
I don't know. I have no fucking clue.
I only watch The Voice.
I watch The Bachelor.
We were watching The Bachelor the other day.
Yeah,
it's a nightmare.
I ended up watching it because I ended up watching it and I was like, "This is I don't want to like this, but this is
people
very,
just keep falling in love with them instantly. Yeah, I think I'm in love with you.
I think I'm in love with you.
It's like really, it's been 2 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
I'm almost certain.
I always wonder if like everybody watching that, everybody like watching it, is be like, "Oh, it's so sweet. She loves him," and I'm like, I don't know if the rest of the world like is like, "Oh my God, that's so sweet," or they think exactly the same thing as me, where I'm like, yeah, it's not.
I think
it's
a smaller percentage of what you think and a larger percentage of people thinking like it's real and
they want to believe that, right?
Yeah,
like they want
which
that.
Is great. Like yeah, if that great. Gives them hope, then
who am I to fucking shoot that down?
Exactly.
Who am I to like? So all right, we're gonna
all right,
go.
So you guys are up next. You have all time low.
Yep.
Tour dates.
Yeah. And have you then met Jack before?
Yeah,
we toured with him. He can drink.
He sure can.
That man can drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exciting. Well, don't die.
Yeah, don't drink with Jack. That's my only advice.
We talked with him in Europe recently.
We've already done that before. He can go.
Yeah, make me a promise that you will only drink with him once a week.
I've seen him get on stage very drunk before.
Yeah.
He can really drink that
guy. It's wild.
It's very good.
One time in Germany, we did those, what are those shots with the fire?
Absinthe?
Fireball.
It has like the Tabasco sauce in it and the tomato juice.
Oh my God.
That sucks.
It's like a traditional Bloody German Mary shot. Yeah, it's pretty much a Bloody Mary shot.
Yeah.
It sounds great.
Honestly,
I love
that
Bloody
sounds
Marys.
Yeah. That sounds actually really good.
I keep saying
good.
We should have Bloody Marys on the rider.
You can
put it on
there.
You
can literally ask for
you
whatever
make, like,
you want.
You make a really intricate one. You know, the ones that have like bacon in it and like.
Do you do, can you get that at emo night? Can you get Bloody Marys?
At emo night?
Is that a thing?
No.
I feel like Bloody Marys will be something on brands for you guys.
It is on
brand.
Yeah,
but no. Imagine at the echo of
and
yes
then,
for
and
Bloody
then
Mary.
At the end, dude, it is fucking crazy.
You should totally have your own cocktail menu.
We used to, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you could do like...
We did like, you know, plays on band names.
Oh,
and
okay.
Stuff.
Sick.
Like the Taste of Ink
the taste of
was...
Drink.
Yeah, the Taste of
Drink.
Okay. And we did like Story of the Beer, which was just...
Oh, that's good.
A PBR, yeah.
What ones can you think of, mate?
I was going to go with horror movies, and I thought you could do, like, The Exorcist, like, the pea soup, and be, like, a cup of vomit, but it would actually be, like, a nice cocktail.
Motionless in white wine?
Like, honestly... Hey.
It's just white wine.
That's all it is.
It's all it is.
It's very still, very still white wine.
No, it's literally just white wine.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, we gotta go.
Cool. Thank you guys for coming by.
Thank you, Creeper,
for having us.
For coming by and writing a very good album.
Jacob's staring. Yeah, he's got. We gotta wrap it up.
Okay, we're wrapping it up. Go,
sorry, Jacob.
I don't know how.
Jacob's in here to push the button again.
All right, I don't know how you get music now, where they get money for it, but do whatever that is. Apple.
There's no money anywhere.
For stream it on.
Just stream it. Stream their shit. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bonjour. This is Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. I'm Andrew Pryor, and every week I bring you the wonderful and fabulous people involved in French food, whether they're here in France like me or from around the world. Enchanté. Each week, we dive into a specific topic, be it a French dish, an ingredient, or a French cuisine cooking technique. My guests are all about French food, so come join me on Fabulously Delicious, the French food podcast. Bon app.